from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And extend you. I don't know. Charrington's been here since November 19th, or 18th of 2019, man.
Yeah.
That's almost 5 years. They very well could finish with a worse record than last year.
Yeah, right now they're on pace to finish with the same exact record, 76-86.
I'm aware of that one, Chalooch. At what point does that, like, I think you're giving me all these, you're not giving me affirmative reasons to keep Ben Charrington. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're giving me negative reasons about, like, what could happen if you get rid of him. You're not giving positive, affirmative arguments to keep him. The difference between, like, put it this way, you're saying Ben Charrington's not guilty right now as the biggest culprit versus saying he's innocent. And there's a big gap there when you're trying to make the case for keeping him or why you're not as bullish on firing him. Big difference there.
I would just like to see what his team that he puts together looks like with a veteran manager with some success.
What did the teams look like other than the very first one he had in Boston with a veteran manager? A World Series winner and then a bunch of cellar dwellers.
Yeah.
So we kind of know what Ben Charrington's able to build in a big market with a veteran manager.
I mean, let me ask you this question. What was Clint Hurdle's resume in Colorado outside of one September and October? He did okay here.
Would you say you have more resources to do well in Boston than you do in Denver, generally speaking? I also think it's hard to build a winner in Denver because the ballpark's so wonky.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just saying, like...
I just think it's a little bit apples to oranges, one, because we're talking about a manager, a field manager versus a GM.
I don't want to shortchange someone building a team that wins a World Series.
Other team he built in that town, every other year finished in last. Every team with the Pirates until last year's finished in last. This year's team appears that it is going to finish in last. You can give the guy credit for a World Series... And also acknowledge in the same breath, the rest of his resume, frankly, sucks.
Yes, but it's secondary to him having won a World Series.
It was 11 years ago. Neil Huntington has had a better season as a GM more recently than Ben Charrington.
Okay, but the years where he didn't finish, where he finished in last place are what? 10 and 9 years ago? They're not recent either. It's not like, you know, the World Series win happened much farther in the rearview mirror than those two things.
I mean, didn't he not finish in last with the Pirates?
I don't know, man.
2 years ago, man.
Up until 2004, the idea of winning a World Series in Boston was like a pretty crazy thought, and he did it. He built a winner there.
They had already done it a couple times before him. He didn't end a curse. They had, in fact, become very hateable and very annoying by the time he took over. He was Theo Epstein's handpicked guy to succeed him. He did not do a good job outside of the very first year there.
Yes, but it wasn't like his first year there was going, in football terms, 9-7 and losing in the first round of the playoffs. He won the equivalent of the Super Bowl.
Terrific. He's gone, his teams that he has built, to that he has to take responsibility for here, 19-41 in a weird, you know, nothing year.
Yep.
61-101, 62-100, 76-86, and it appears possibly worse than that this year. With the best pitcher in baseball, I would still argue, making up 20% of his starting rotation. He has done nothing. My main indictment of Ben Cherington, since I've mainly just been parrying you here and I will now actually make my argument against him, is it's one thing. I give him credit for Skeens because I said pick Dylan Cruz. I'll even give him credit for Jared Jones. That's not a slam dunk pick that guy has developed. When he's healthy, I think he is going to be really good. I'm not even going to use caveats there. I still think Keller is more good than bad. I'm a little alarmed by this swoon again. I'm hoping he gets back on the right track. Okay? Where are the position players? Where are they? Brian Reynolds is an objectively good baseball player. O'Neill Cruz is a frustrating baseball player with a lot of talent. Joey Bart is an objectively good pickup. Good job, Ben. I think my list stops pretty much there. I'd like to say Nick Gonzalez belongs, but I would be lowering the standards of what you'd call a good player for a guy with basically a 700 OPS who looked good because he was getting clutch hits on a horrible offensive team. You have had 5 effing years to do the job and find good position players.
Yeah.
Where are they?
There aren't any. If I were his defense attorney in a court of law right now, my rebuttal would be, but hasn't he built the young pitching rotation, both in the majors and maybe in the minors, that is the envy of Major League Baseball?
Yes, and would it be the envy of Major League Baseball without Paul Skeens?
No, it wouldn't be, but it would still be pretty good with Jones and Bubba Chandler. And
we haven't seen Bubba Chandler pitch in the Major League.
People can't have it both ways in that argument where they say, if we're going to cherry pick the guys in the minor leagues that are hitters that have not done well, like if he's going to get crucified for Tamar Johnson's struggles at single A, he should get credit for Chandler's rise in the minor leagues. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk that the guy's going to be a good major league pitcher, but I think it's fair to harangue him for even the minor league hitter's struggles. I think that's a valid criticism.
I could harangue him, though, for Anthony Solometto going in the toilet suddenly.
There have been so many more success stories, I think, with their young pitchers than there have been failures, and that does look like a failure right now.
For better or worse, if you're Ben Cherington, if you're the general manager of the Pirates, you have to be good at building both ends of it in the minor leagues. He has built one half of it. He has been laughably deficient at figuring out the other half.
No doubt, but how much of it do you think is... So does Ben Cherington set the hitting philosophy for the organization, or does the manager and his hitting coach?
Who hires the manager and the hitting coach?
He does. You're right about well.
Who expresses displeasure with that if once they're hired, it's not going well?
I would say ultimately it's on in this situation. I think the GM has more to do with the manager hire than, say, you know, the GM of the, you know, Omar Khan picking who the Steelers coach is.
I would agree with that. So, and you know where Ben comes from, where he did have success? The Red Sox. What were they known for? Where I'm just saying, as you could draw back their hitting philosophy to the GM. They were known for working counts. Donnie can talk, you know, wax poetic about Kevin Youkilis, the Greek god of walks.
Yes.
But all those guys, they were. I mean, I watched those games through gritted
teeth. This
team
tries to be patient, but they're patient watching strike three go by. That's
their
problem.
They're patient, and they're not good enough to be patient. They ruined Jack Sawinski with this approach. Jack Sawinski should have had baseball dumbed down to him hitting a baseball to the most rudimentary elements. See pitch you like, swing as hard as you can.
Well, I think they got greedy with him. They should have just accepted who he was and not tried to make him into something better or something different.
Again, that starts for me with the GM, thinking he can turn a guy who has flaws but is a useful hitter, ultimately, into a star.
I just think if you're ready to do this because their minor league system is not where it needs to be from a ranking standpoint, there is not a lot of quality hitters in their organization. To this point, his trade deadline acquisitions have not worked out. You know, there are a lot of cons on the list of Ben Cherington's positives and negatives as Pirates GM in his time here. But I just think if you fire a GM, in very rare instances, especially in small markets, is the idea just continue what we're doing and making it make it better. It's basically, here is a blank canvas to try to build this team and make this a consistent winner. And I'm just not ready to like completely blow this thing up yet. I might get there in a year.
There's one thing.
I might get there in a year, but I'd like to see what they look like with a different hitting coach and a different manager.
Okay, there's
Chris.
One other thing I'll offer that actually is, now I'm not going back on my opinion, but there is one, if I were making an argument against myself, I would say one thing. I would like to see Ben Cherington given more of a financial rope to make acquisitions that could help him in terms of hitters in the offseason. The actual ones that teams do when they're
well,
trying to compete.
Do you believe this nugget from Deshaun's column? It says here that Nutting and Travis Williams wanted Ben Cherington to take advantage of what was, quote, an eight-figure payroll allotment at the deadline.
Eight figures could be $10 million.
Okay, though. But still, though, that's increasing your payroll by $10 million. How much did they really increase it by? They didn't increase it at all.
I think they decreased it in the aggregate.
Because Cruz is making, De La Cruz is making less than $1 million. Beeks is making a couple million dollars. And
Kiner Falefa's making seven.
Okay, so 7.5.
But they traded away Perez,
right,
who was making
eight and a half. So they
broke even.
Right.
I don't
so
know,
the owner and the president of the team said you can add at least $10 million to the payroll?
I mean, I will say it's interesting to hear that, but Deion is also the person who, when the Cherington leak happened, where it was Parado suggesting, I believe it was, that Cherington did not have the financial resources essentially to do his job properly, that the other side of it came out via Deion.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
I think. That's how, Donnie, do you remember it being that way? Pony was out that day, but I think John was like reporting like the unhappiness,
yes,
of Ben Cherington, and then the counterpoint essentially came from Deshaun that said, actually, it's Ben Cherington who's the problem. The owner would authorized more spending and Ben won't do it.
Yeah.
That's how I remember that going down. So that I only point that out to say that is just in line with what has previously happened when there's been stuff like this coming out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Wash.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. Time to talk to top Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo. Brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. Ray, you and I were on TV Sunday night together, and Pop asked us about Brandon Ayuk. You said, I don't know when, but I do think he'll end up being a Steeler. Do you still feel that way a few days later?
Yeah, I do. I know there are reports out of San Francisco now, and that seems to be where everything is coming from, that they're apparently close, and that certainly changes things. But, you know, to me, Andrew, if they wanted to sign Ayuk, they could have done it months ago or weeks ago. So something tells me that that'll break down again, and the Steelers will, you know, swoop in and get the guy they want. But I don't really have any confidence that it's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. But I do think eventually that will still be the case.
Ray, SpotTrack just came out with like some contract valuations for some prominent players who currently don't have next deals in place. Ayuk slotted in their valuation at 4 years, $110 million. I'm not great at math, but that's something like $27.5 million a year. Where do you think the Steelers' offer to him would come in relative to that?
I mean, you got to guess, like, in that range, 27, 28. I know the Patriots, you know, according to that report out of Boston, they were offering $32 million. So, you know, the Steelers have to be in that ballpark. You know, probably in the end, it's probably going to be 28. million or so, and you know, obviously Omar feels comfortable with that number, and if they make that move, they're obviously going for it, right? You know, this is a big move for them. This would be the richest you know, contract they've handed out to a receiver, to a playmaker, really, in their history. And to me, that would signal that you know, they just don't want to make the playoffs. They want to do some damage once they get there.
Do you think any of these scrap heap receivers that have already been cut or are going to get cut would make the Steelers pounce and say these aren't great players, but they are upgrades? For example, the guy that's been out there for the last few days, Ray, is Juju Smith-Schuster.
You know, I had you guys on the way home. You know, you guys know who Tomlin would want, right? He always goes after the former first-round pick who flamed out someplace else. I would guess it would be somebody like Kadarius Toney.
Yep.
I would think Corey Davis as a guy who flamed out in I guess multiple places.
Maybe he's getting a bad letter of recommendation, bad reference with Arthur Smith, Mulsey.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think that would have been done by now?
Maybe, yes, but how the hell would he want who's giving him a good letter of recommendation on Kadarius Toney?
Well, he went out and got Justin Gilbert, for crying out loud. Apparently, True. He doesn't need letters of recommendation, but I mean, that's, Tomlin loves to do that. I mean, he did it with Taco Charlton. I mean, I can go on and on. There's like five or six.
It's not a very good strategy, if I'm just going to editorialize here, Ray. When has that really worked well for Mike?
Yeah, and I honestly don't know if Omar and Andy feel the same way that Mike does. I know, you know, since they've come on board, it's probably still happened, but I know it happened more under Kevin. So we'll have to see what comes of that. Hopefully they're not in that situation, you know. Ideally, Ayuk would be their guy, and they could just slot Jefferson into three and Calvin Austin / Scotty Miller 4 or 5, maybe Watkins. I mean, they could make it work if Ayuk comes here. If not, you know, they still got some work to do, I think.
Give me the biggest highlight from joint practice today with the Bills, Ray.
Both teams were well behaved. I didn't see any fisticuffs, couple of shoving matches. You know, I thought Russ looked good. I'm sure you've heard the news. He's going to start on Saturday night, so the much-anticipated debut of Russell Wilson is upon us. You know, I thought he looked good earlier in the week when he ramped up his activities up at St. Vincent, and I thought he looked good again today. So, you know, I think everyone has been, you know, enthusiastic about Fields, and I think rightfully so. And, you know, now we'll get our first look at Wilson on Saturday night.
Ray, we had Jeff Hathorn on yesterday, and he actually was asked to give a camp MVP, and I think to both of our surprise, he said George Pickens, and he said really that it's been much ado about nothing beyond that first initial shouting match with Azani. Can you give us your take on what you've seen from Pickens these last couple weeks overall?
Yeah, George has been really good, and you know, I really didn't think about this until Arthur Smith said it the other day. But Arthur kind of raved about the speed in the receivers room. And I was watching Pickens out there today. He was catching balls. And, you know, I know it's kind of two-hand touch out there. It's thud. You're not really tackling people to the ground in these joint practices. But, you know, George was getting open, and George was running past people. And, you know, they got Calvin Austin, and they got some other guys who have speed. You know, Van Jefferson is a guy who can still run. So, yeah, I mean, as far as George goes, he's been making plays all of camp. And, you know, that thing with Azani is well behind him, I think. You know, there haven't been any other dust-ups that, you know, that have happened in practice. And, you know, I think that's good for George and obviously good for the Steelers, especially if he wants a second contract. He's got to be well-behaved and act like a number one receiver. And I think for the vast majority of this camp, he has.
Ray, among the beat writers, what has been the reaction to Mark Cabali fired but very quickly scooped up by both Pat McAfee and now World Wrestling?
Yeah, funny story. I'm sitting in the Tomlin press conference room minutes before it's about to start, and I get Bert Lawton's attention right before it starts, and I show him the picture of Cabali in the wrestling singlet, you know, and he just shook his head. But yeah, we're all happy for Mark, and hopefully he can make it work, you know, between the WWE and in your station and all those other places that I'm glad he landed on his feet. So
I think he's landed on his feet and then some.
I was going to say, he stuck the landing like Kerry Strug.
I mean, this is amazing. I don't know if I'm ever going to see him again. He's got a watch party on Saturday night, and he doesn't have to show up to games whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, it's everyone, believe me, everyone in that media room is happy for Mark.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out in the Post-Gazette covering Saturday's game. Are we getting grades for Saturday, or do you wait until the real games, Ray?
Who's rising and who's falling for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll get the grades down in Atlanta.
Can you bring back the E? Because everyone just jumps from D minus to F. Can you bring back E this year as a grade?
If Matt Canada was around, I definitely would. I have higher hopes for Arthur Smith. So let's say maybe if it's warranted.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray. Bringing up Kadarius Toney.
Oh, that's
as an option.
When has it? Can you have like the steel trap memory? I'm serious. Can you remember a time Mike took a risk on a real like first round washout? The guy showed up here.
I would say Alualu would be one who got way overdrafted in Jacksonville, and I think helped.
Was he terrible
Steelers.
There, or was he like at least passable? Like Justin Gilbert flamed out and like had nothing.
Well,
going
you're,
on.
You're saying a former first round pick who came here and
like Toney has been really bad.
Made them
in
better.
His pro
I would
career.
Say. I would say Alualu was one. Yeah, Toney has sucked so far, and it's like a distraction.
Well, that's what I mean. Alualu was overdrafted, by all accounts, extremely good guy.
But the Gil, yeah, exactly, and like still best friends with Hayward.
Yeah,
the Gilbert thing I could even get because hey, Cleveland messes these guys up.
Pennies on the dollar. Acquisition.
Let's get them into our culture and into our building, and we'll make them better. It's the Chiefs.
If they can't get a guy, they got
Kadarius
Toney.
They
got Juju to on the straight and narrow.
They're right.
I would hate that idea. I really would. I think that's like the most and potentially destructive.
But you are
too.
Back to beggars can be choosers, is what you're doing again.
Well, I think the receivers that we ended up with, we like. You know, we've added speed to that room. You know, we liked Van Jefferson when he was coming out in the draft from Florida. He had an excellent week at the Senior Bowl, and you know, he had a good week or a good year with LA. Their Super Bowl year, and he's a guy with high football character, and we respected him. Scotty Miller, you know, his route savvy, his speed, his quickness. He played on the Super Bowl winning team in Tampa. Quez, his deep speed ability. And then Roman Wilson in Michigan with the speed and the big play ability he showed last year. You know, we like the room, and we think that it's growing, it's developing. You can see it every day with the quarterbacks, the chemistry being developed.
That is Andy Weidel. The man that gets a lot of credit for the Steelers drafts the last 2 years, talking about the wide receivers they brought in. It would have been hilarious if he said, gotta be honest with you guys, I think this room blows. I think this wide receiver room straight up sucks. I can't stress that enough. We are so desperate to get someone better in here. So he's not going to do that. He is going to talk up and pump the tires of one Van Jefferson who had 20 catches last year.
Well, I think Andy's extremely sharp.
And no touchdowns.
But it's funny to hear him say, you know, he was really productive and then cite their Super Bowl year because 2021 is in it. And I say this as somebody that was just citing Russell Gage's good 2021. 2021 in NFL terms is an eternity ago.
TRT on Thursdays at 5:30, we give you four topics to choose from and you pick. Today, your options were Brandon Ayuk, Mark Cabali, Lantern Flies, Kenny Pickett. 43% of you said, give me more Brandon Ayuk. And that 43% was enough for Ayuk to be the topic we discuss during TRT.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
Now, I'll peek behind the curtain here for everybody. whenever Pony, especially, I try to do this too. Whenever Pony has TRT, quit trying to sing over me. He always holds back if one of the choices is the most popular subject of the day, which it always is. He will always hold back one more angle to keep this segment fresh. It's very bad radio to go back and just say, well, let's rehash our first arguments.
What if we just played the segment from before?
Josh Innes once famously did that on Houston radio.
Yes, he did.
Which is a very, very funny bit. What was it? He was...
Someone complained that he was talking...
Not doing enough Astros talk during the World Series, and he was doing Texans talk, and he said, oh, you're bitching and moaning about not enough baseball here, and then
he
played his whole opening.
He
goes, I talked the opening segment about it. What a move.
Yep.
That's big-time radio right there.
That's pretty funny.
It is.
So is this.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Aiyuks of our lives.
I actually think your Pirates emergency is better today. What was that, Pirates state of emergency or whatever?
Yes, but people don't want us to talk about that right now. They want more Aiyuk.
I know. Kenny Pickett bringing up the rear yet again. Will you watch, though? I know he's not supposed to be mentioned. Yes or no, Donnie, will you watch Pickett tonight? There's lightning in the area in Foxborough for that game. You
will
gonna watch, Kenny?
No, I will not.
Electrifying, though.
I'll watch the whole game.
Are you gonna watch it like forlornly? Like if you had seen pictures of an ex or something on social
no,
media?
Because if
a
he, tier,
a single
no,
tear rolls down
no,
your
it's
cheek.
It's a preseason game, and
you know he's gonna ball out.
I know he's gonna have a great game, and
15 for 19, 73 yards, no passes that go beyond 5 yards in the air.
I'm not gonna praise him up and down because this is what we expect out of Kenny now, for him to be the Tom right. Brady of preseason football.
Let's talk more Aiyuk.
This has been since this became a real conversation again last week. This has been the quietest day on the Aiyuk front.
Why do you think that is? Give me a theory. I know you've theorized in your own brain. I know that analytical wheel is turning. Why it's quieted down specifically today?
Because I think that San Francisco has probably made its best offer, and Aiyuk has either told them, I'll think about it. Like, maybe he said, give me a day to think about it. Maybe he gave them a, let me get together with my people and I will give you an answer on Friday, and then tomorrow will be the day that we have real Aiyuk news.
What if he announces,
or he could say to them,
Rebecca Black's Friday.
He could say to them, no, I'm still not going to sign it, and the 49ers might drag their feet again. But I don't see how I take the lack of news today to mean that these, like, okay, this is San Francisco. Maybe they've upped the ante a little bit more. Like, maybe guaranteed money is a sticking point. Maybe the number of years in the deal is an issue, right? Like, maybe
I would think he would just want 4 years, wouldn't you?
Okay, but like, let's say San Francisco is offering the same money as the Steelers.
Okay.
But it's only a 3-year deal.
Well, then obviously it's not as good of a deal. What if it's a 5-year deal at the same money?
What if it's a 5-year deal and it's less money per year?
Well,
so
he,
there's
I
more security, but it's less annually.
Then the guarantee comes into play.
Right, so
they
guarantee
a higher percentage for a longer deal.
This is just me completely spitballing, but that could be. Although, don't you think a Schefter or somebody like that would find out that that's the
sticking point?
What's causing delay here?
Because that's actual red meat for Schefter, as opposed to like rumor and not rumor and innuendo. That's new news. Because I'm not going to cheapen what you've been doing here, which is, I think, accurately reporting on a very weird situation that almost feels unprecedented in terms of just how drawn out it's been. And
the insiders have said that.
Well, this is
in all,
like,
their years, there's never been anything like it.
This is like football trench warfare. Nobody's really doing anything.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.